You have a superpower of first creativity, second dialogue, human dialogue, not system dialogue. Because system dialogue is I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm Republican, you're Democrat. It's either or.
Yeah.
So human dialogue is a superpower and it's abused and wasted by politicians. I'm not going into the rabbit hole again, but
yeah.
I'm saying it's wasted because they're talking about system issues.
Yeah.
And it's not about human. They are actually the interface between humanity and systems, and all they talk is about systems.
Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast with solopreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. I'm your host, Candice Rodarte, and today we are joined by artist Michael McGrooch. Michael is an artist, educator, speaker, and author who advocates for raising awareness of human potential and understanding neurodiversity. He has written 5 books on art, humanity, systems, and inclusivity. His latest book argues that artists can improve their economic situations by shifting focus from the art product to limitless human potential. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Candice. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you. So tell us your story. How did you get to where you are today?
It was a catastrophe from my birth, 36 hours, hitting the, was a sick child, then came to the school, then I was completely neurodiverse. And I couldn't pass schools. I failed in English. I'm born in Vienna, Austria. I failed in English, failed in pretty much everything. I was a horrible art student. I am completely self-taught because that's just what came out of it. And that now is my superpower because I can actually systemically be relevant because I'm so out of systems. So I can actually see how systems, where the breakdowns are with humans and so on. So I actually... that's my value now for humanity, not for, you know, I'm still not system relevant, you know, and I don't strive for that. Whatever happens, happens, you know.
I love that. The reason why I love that is because my father, my husband, and my daughter all have dyslexia.
Yeah.
And the luckily for my daughter, I understood immediately when she was 7 years old what was going on, and I took action to make sure that she got the education adjustments that she needed for her education. Today, she's a grad student. So she did really well in the system because I'm system oriented. My husband, on the other hand, is not, because his level of dyslexia prevented him from his full potential within the systems. So I completely understand why you have the approach that you have, because he sees things differently than anybody I've ever met. He can step outside of the situation and see 360 degrees from all angles and find solutions that other people can't find, because his superpower is his neurodiversity. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we can harness these superpowers from the neurodiverse community and make the world better.
Yeah. And you know, I am an advocate for neurodiversity, and I'm in think tanks of neurodiversity and so on. So what you described about your husband was completely correct. You know, but I think we can't lift neurodiversity. That's my opinion. It's not the neurodiversity's opinion, but it's my opinion that you can't lift a human because of some. It's like saying, okay, there's woman and a man, and women do this and men do this. There's race. This race is better than that race. It's systemization of and categorization of certain things. And then there's expectation. And as you know from dyslexia, that no dyslexic is the same. So there's very good mathematics dyslexia. And there's very, like me, I'm not, and numbers is the worst, but creativity is everything, you know? So I see everything in patterns of how it interacts in context, like your husband kind of, you know, I see it from outside. But no dyslexia is the same. And actually what I think is the contribution of neurodiversity to humanity, what it could be, is that it shows us that everybody is valuable. That nature doesn't make a mistake, because in nature, if you exist, you're worthy. So the ant and the elephant don't have different system value.
Yeah.
They are valuable because they exist. And if we have that, we can bring that in from nature, which we are part of, right? We are just a creator animal, and that's why we are self-conscious. We live in systems. We get born, you get born in the hospital, you get baptized, you go to school, you go to job, you get married, all systems. It's okay to be there. I'm not against systems. I'm very much, but I'm about the consciousness, not that you submit to your system as a human, because we created everything. We created New York, Singapore, Nike, McDonald's, all these super stuff that we like, all the science we created. So we cannot submit to it. It's impossible. The human relevance needs to be number one. And why do we have all different eyes, different fingerprints, different DNA? Because perhaps it's the hint from nature that everybody is worthy and everybody has, and the system just hasn't found it. So you and I are in an age where we know in the past dyslexia was nothing. And now dyslexia talk, people become aware of it, which is good. So that's a good thing. Like me too is a good thing to be aware, but it's not the solution, because when the system creates a problem, a human problem, you cannot fix it with a solution, because we are the gods of systems. You can't fix a human problem with a system solution or a system. You can make it better, but ultimately humans have to talk to each other like we do in a podcast, right? That's why podcasts are so powerful, and it's why people listen to them, because they need a natural communication and they can plug into that, not something prefab like a news or from a news organization or something. Yeah, so yeah, that's basically what I have to say to whatever you ask me. I forgot already what you asked me.
I think that you sort of solved racism in the beginning of your statement, because we were all the rather than disliking other people because of something that makes them different than them, we should be embracing what's different. And awareness is how you do that. That's the first level, is awareness. So yeah, Me Too was awareness. It also I think Me Too might have backfired, because actually, I really do believe Me Too backfired based on, I really hate to dig into politics, but something happened in the last couple of months that really exaggerated just how poorly Me Too did. And I, but it is political, so I'm not gonna go down that line.
No, 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 don't go. No,
I'm
don't
not
go
gonna
there.
go down that line. I'm not gonna go down that line. Okay, so let me, because I'm going to cut that out. So let me ask you a different question. You are right about podcasts being the reason why people love listening to podcasts, because they can find a podcast that they agree with.
Relate to, perhaps too. I
Relate,
mean,
yeah. And so you can have any belief system out there, and there is going to be a podcast that is in alignment with your belief system, which is one of the reasons why I try to have a variety of different kinds of people and ideas on my show, because I want to expose my listeners to different ideas and different types of people and different things. I've had guests on the show that I don't agree with at all in any way, shape, or form, but we had interesting conversations. And it's also an exercise in kindness, right? I
Yeah,
mean,
and also a superpower. You have a superpower of first creativity, second dialogue, human dialogue, not system dialogue. Because system dialogue is I'm right, you're wrong, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm Republican, you're Democrat. It's either or.
yeah.
So human dialogue is a superpower, and it's abused and wasted by politicians. I'm not going into the rabbit hole again, but I'm
Yeah.
saying it's wasted because they're talking about system issues,
Yeah.
and it's not about human. They are actually the interface between humanity and systems, and all they talk is about systems. They never talk about the humans. They talk about,
Let's just think about this for a minute, because everyone who knows me knows that I am a proponent of universal health care, because I'm living with metastatic breast cancer, and I'm the benefit of universal health care. I was put on Social Security disability about a year and a half or 2 years after I was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, and my health insurance is it's not 100% covered. I have a $6,000 a year out-of-pocket copay, right? But I have health insurance for the rest of my life, and I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to worry. So that burden of how am I going to pay these $250,000 medical bills has been lifted from me because of the fact that 20, 30 years ago, Congress decided that women with metastatic breast cancer qualified for disability, right? Systems can level the playing field so that the dialogue can happen without the disparity and the dichotomy. So right now in the United States, we have people who can afford health insurance and think that we have the best healthcare in the world. And then we have people who cannot afford insurance and think that the United States has the worst healthcare in the world. And the truth is closer to what the folks without insurance are feeling than the people with insurance are feeling based on the world. So I am going to talk about that politically, because that my feelings on that are very strong, and I have made no secret of how I feel about universal healthcare. So sometimes the point I went down that road is because sometimes the system and the awareness can level the field so that the dialogues can happen. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I say always, when you look on my LinkedIn, I said awareness trumps all. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot blame somebody for being a racist when somebody was sexist. When somebody was for generations comes out of that and has learned everything from that. But the moment he's aware, he will stop itself. That's why I also say why it's trumps all is the moment you're aware you have cancer, you have to do something. Mm-hmm. You can say, I leave it and die, but that's a choice. Or you can say, I'm going to fight it, or I do an alternative. I do whatever. But the moment you know something, you're aware about a situation about you, you have to do something. And if I say, hey, I really saw that that company is screwing you. It's screwing you. And you weren't aware of it. And I say, look at this. That's why they screw you. And the moment you know, you're going to be different with that company. If I'm wrong or right, but you are aware of something and there's a reason why I talk to you, and then you'll be in a different position. And there's no, like people say, Michael, what have you a suggestion? I said, I have no success suggestion. I have no three steps. I have nothing. I'm just saying, be aware, be a know that you are a human being, that you're part of nature, right? And that you, that in nature is all the answers. You know, nature has all the answers. I always look at animals, what they do. And I see that, you know, the elephant is not jealous at the ant, or the ant is not jealous at the elephant, because there is no value. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think we need to get that into systemic. We still can play Monopoly, mm-hmm. but if we can transfer systemically what nature does to their living beings, meaning enough abundance, they not have the best life or the worst, enough abundance, a roof over their head. Mm-hmm. I'm not for universal in the thing, but I'm saying we need to get those possibilities somehow, you know, how that people have a roof over their heads, have enough to eat, which we have. We almost have two-thirds we almost throw away. And it's not the best food, I know, but to have the food, to have the shelter, that they don't have to worry, to have the health insurance, yeah. that they don't have to, they can exist, because you can't, any living being you push in a corner, and that's what systems do, because they're based on a financial principle, and financial principles are flawed, because they always create disharmony. They get, you know, to the rich, to the poor. It's not because, oh, the rich are, so they, it's just the system works like that. It just set up like that. There's 40% of working humans have to suffice with $5.50 a day. Now, and that's working people. Not that's not like people that are lazy, quote, unquote. By the way, that doesn't exist in nature either, the word lazy. And I mean, now we have AI that watches you and sees if you have to digest something as a human, right? Let's say after our talk, you would look out the window and the AI would look at you and said, she's not working. She's not on with Michael or with another person. And it would tell you that you're not productive for the company, because it's the financial principle. You have to be productive the whole day, but it does not understand that you need to look out the window in nature to digest our conversation, mm-hmm. to recenter yourself for the next client. I mean, yeah. Look at, there's people, Marianne Williamson did a great article about that, It's more and more and more. And she had set that example that you have 15 callers and you just need to be a minute, look out the window just to digest what you just went through, you know, humanly digest,
Yeah.
not systemically.
Yeah. Was really lucky as a child. I went to an elementary school that had huge windows, floor to ceiling windows, and I'm not bragging. I was faster than other students at finishing my assignments, and so I spent a lot of time looking out the window until everybody else caught up. And that helped me, right? It helped me.
Absolutely. Make you stronger.
And when my child went started going to elementary school, and she didn't have any windows in any of her classrooms, and then they walked in straight lines in between class, and they weren't allowed to talk during lunch. And I'm like, this isn't school, this is prison, you know? And so I don't know. I just think that the education that I received as a child was so much better than than the one that my child received, because we were allowed creativity and critical thinking and. They don't teach that. Now they teach tests.
No.
They teach how to pass a test. So nobody, we have a whole generation of people who don't know, two generations of people who don't understand critical thinking skills. Which, and all of that would be alleviated if everybody's superpowers would be allowed to show, right?
But we are not, we see, like I said, there's 8 billion different people.
And 8 billion different superpowers.
The super exactly. But life is, see, when you know that, when you say, oh, because the system doesn't know what to do with you, Candace. Yeah, it just, oh, Michael, you know, if the system, so therefore you are not valuable. You're not getting a salary. You know, nobody is hiring you, you know, and that's the crazy stuff.
I'd really like to talk about the animal kingdom because you've brought it up a couple of times. I sometimes you go down these rabbit holes on YouTube, and the other day I saw a video, and it was a domestic dog, a raccoon, and a coyote. And they were sleeping in two little barrels next to each other, and they were just hanging out and having a good time being friends. And yes, this was a domestic situation because it was somebody was caring for the coyote and the raccoon, but the raccoon was crawling all over the dog, cuddling with the dog. The coyote was right there, didn't really want to be in the cuddle situation, but it wanted to be in the pack, right? Animals accept each other. Even animal, I mean, coyotes would kill a raccoon and eat a raccoon. So even in a situation like that, they want to have their community and their communication, and they saw past the fact that they were different species. And I think humans could learn a lot from the way
No
animals
kidding.
interact.
All I watch is on Instagram is animal videos because I learn more from animals than from humans.
Yeah. And the fact that some animals get along with each other that you don't think should get along with each other, you know, and that should be the lesson that humans are learning. If this kangaroo and this wallaby can be best friends, if this donkey and this chicken can be best friends, if this cat and this deer can be best friends, why can't I take a moment to say, why am I racist, bigoted, sexist? What can I do to change so that I can be more like the wallaby and the deer or the wallaby and the kangaroo?
Listen to this podcast episode because it's not the awareness isn't there. The awareness isn't there, Candice. This is the thing is we need. You know, I believe that animals were help animals. They took the disease of a person, and then they died themselves, and they were like thing. But I think now they become our teachers. I think that there was a shift, like the whole world is shifting right now, and animals are not teachers of us. Like you just said, that example. I had the same. I said I couldn't believe it. I can't believe these animals together. What they do, how they act, when they fight. When you look at the fighting, it's not to the death. It's just establishing who is the stronger and then accepting it. Not just, you know, and then, you know, wolf packs is the leader is always challenged, you know. If we had that in systems, the leader is never challenged.
Yeah.
That the leader is at the sea level and the bottom line does whatever it wants. And it's exchanged, humans are exchanged like a cog on a wheel.
The
And
people.
everybody wants to be leader, you know why? Because when you're a leader, you don't think you have to do all that system work that is uncomfortable to do.
The folks listening to this show are already have already established that they don't want to be in that corporate world, and they have their own businesses. They're solopreneurs, and they already know that they don't want to be the cog in the wheel, that they want to make their own, they want to create their own wheel. But you can learn from those systems how to create a system for yourself. I'm a fan of self systems, right? I like having a routine and a system and a way to do things so that it goes seamlessly. I can record this podcast episode, and within 2 to 3 hours, I can have edited it and created all the graphics and all that because I have a system, right? And I have a system the way I release it, and there's a system for how it gets put out into the world, and a system for how I share it with others, and a system for how I ask for testimonials. So there's a, you know, that, but that's, those are my systems. That's my superpower. That's how I do things. And my system might not work for other people. So we're talking about two different kinds of systems, I think. You're talking about systemic corporate systems, and I'm talking about productivity systems.
No, I think we're talking about the same because you could submit to your own system so much so that you don't have a life anymore. Because you have to do activate this, automate this, try to, I mean, the creative act is the one that
Well,
pleases
part
you
of
the
my
most.
system is also not overextending myself.
But people often start with automatic when they automize and get their own systems. And then, for example, I see it in podcasts. They have everything set up. I get their reminders and everything, and the person never shows up because he didn't know. Calendly handles everything and Zoom, and it's all integrated. And they don't know it. They said, "Oh my God, I didn't see. I didn't know that I didn't have time on this day." So they get everything is automized. And for me, I can't automate anything. I have to do everything in person. I would never do a calendar thing. I do everything automatically in person because that's I trust the human relationship. And also, it gives me constant feedback, but I think when we are the best, you're absolutely right, solopreneur, because solopreneur, you find your uniqueness when you do. Is it because why am I attracted to crocheting, or why am I attracted to podcasting? Why am I attracted to this? And in the process of creation and tweaking that, you learn about yourself, and you will learn more of who you of your essence is represented in that physical world, because you're when you change your when you have an inspiration, your non-physical somehow gets you, and you're inspired to look at this or wanted to do this, and then you try it, and you get more feedback, and you think about it, and then all of a sudden, oh, great, and more, and then you're aware. And the achievement of making a podcast, this is something I really want to say. What had happened where we got lost, like you and I had had a better education than your daughter, is because success is important, more important than achievement. We are creator animals. It doesn't make anymore in our when we were young, it was like you work hard, you make it, you get to. Because it was all about the achievement. Have you achieved this? Today, it's not available. Is are you successful? How fast? How much fame you have? And not everybody can be famous. I mean, I know what systemically is success. It's reaching a goal, surpassing a goal, getting people to engage. But not every human of 8 billion human is, and that's why we have the big lie in systems that the top 1 of 1%, like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, are these glorified ideals that no that doesn't say they are fulfilled humans, they're happy, because the billionaire and the beggar both are worried about money. So, and we're not aware of that. We say, well, what are we, what kind of hamster wheel are we doing? We just getting crazy. YouTube video, a viral video. Everybody, you hear everybody talking about a viral video. Have you looked at the numbers, how many viral videos there are? 99% of videos are not viral. So, this is insanity. This, you know?
I put out a lot of video content because it's part of the process, right? And there are folks that were like, "Oh, is your video viral? Do you have 10,000? Do you have 100,000 views?" And I'm like, "You know what? If my video has 10 views and one person learned something in that video that changed the trajectory of their day, their week, or their life, then that video was a success."
Exactly. 100%.
And there are 8 billion people on this planet, so there are 8
Exactly.
billion different definitions of success.
Exactly. And that's why I say use fulfillment as a marker, not success, because success is systemic. You have a goal and you have to achieve it, right? Fulfillment is what you're doing is fulfilling. It's always building, while success is a lack. When you are system successful, so I want to get the Oscar. You get the Oscar, right? What are you doing after? Where you fall in a thing, you get the Olympic medal. What are you going to do afterwards? You fall into a thing. You hit the goal at the quarter, you surpass the goal. Let's say you surpass the goal of your quarter. You start at the beginning again. So the whole systemic life, unawareness is that we live in a constant lack. And we take that on because we are very adaptable, third superpower of us. And we adapt to that and say, oh my God, what we need to work harder, better, smarter to be. But it's never, you never pull out, zoom out and say, for what? Because we have stress, disease, all this stuff, and that is systemic a symptom. That's not a human symptom. You don't have cancer and all that stuff in animals in the wild. And if you do, it takes one or two generations to breed it out, so that if the lion has a heart attack, the next generation doesn't have it anymore. But we are so in lack constantly, more and more better every day. And not like in nature where we change every day. We anyway change. We change all the time. But in nature, you change to adapt to create harmony, not in systems. You have to disrupt, you have to get a war, you have to the reset that is naturally by adapting to fulfillment and have the feedback loop as fulfillment doesn't exist in systems. It has, because it's static, it's very limited, and we created it. We're not the God of nature, we are the God of systems. And when we the moment we submit to them, it's over. It's over. We have to keep the distance and say, I'm using this system to make this podcast. I'm using Zoom to make this podcast. I'm using this to make this that. But I am using it. It helps me. Systems are supposed to be helping and supporting humans, not.
Oh, that's the difference here. You are the manipulator of the system. If you
Exactly.
cannot manipulate the system, then the system is broken for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting where I'm picking up what you're putting down now. It's a little like I don't really agree with what Michael's saying, but I see where you're going with that now. Let's talk
Yeah,
about the
because
Oscars. I want to talk about the Oscars for a minute because you brought it up. How many people, and this is a rhetorical question, how many people come out of the gate and get an Oscar on one of their first or second films and then never make a good movie again? It's probably that statistic is probably pretty high. Whereas the actors who worked really hard and they struggle and struggle and struggle, and then when they get to their 40s and 50s and they've already done 100 films or 25 films or whatever the number is, and then they get their Oscar, then their careers really take off. So I it's in some cases the process of owning your career, when you get the Oscar so early on, you don't own your career anymore. But when you're struggling and you're working and you're improving your craft and you're getting better and better, then you kind of own your career because you can develop who you are as an actor. I'm not an actor. I don't, I don't even play one on TV, right? But I keep thinking about these, like Adrien Brody, I think that's his name. He got an Oscar and I don't think he's made more than a handful of movies since. And it was his first film, right? Or one of his first films. So he doesn't get to choose those things for himself. So I think those achievements, those trophies aren't necessarily a good thing, right?
I think they're irrelevant, Any system accolade is irrelevant because it's just giving you an accolade because you're good for the system. So if you make a lot of money, if they want to think you get a system accolade, but that doesn't mean that's the thing. You did the Olympics is the best example. The Olympics were made that I say, hey, Candice, let's meet. Let's you a runner, I'm a runner, and we just run and say, and I want to just see how good I am. And you want to see perhaps differently. You say, I want to see how good I am against a man, you know? And you just and we try out. And it wasn't about you get a medal or anything. It was you all these towns went together in one. And they first of all, the social aspect was the most important, which it still is for our athletes. And then it was let's just see how we physically are doing. But now it's about the medal because the medal is business. The Oscar is advertising money. So it's one thing leads to another. But and so you have to run that train because on the other side, if you don't run the train, today, if you don't work, you die. You have to work to survive. In the old days, when we grew up or our parents grew up, you work to live. You work more, but you work to live. You have the money, you have the car, and you can go on a vacation for two weeks, driving in. Today, a vacation is 3 days. So because time is a system too that is used to make money, it's just it's for financial principle. I'm not against
Well,
money. Everybody thinks I'm against money.
the way the world works now is you can be on vacation and still working.
And
When
that's all also.
my
That's
father
all.
took our family on vacation, he couldn't continue to work because he didn't have access to work, right? But when we
Super that
but
you say that. Super that you say that. Because I'm asking you, what is the if you had no phone on the vacation, you can't you and no computer, you can't work. And that's not a vacation. People, I don't ne ever needed a vacation because I work on fulfillment. My life is fulfilling. I'm waking up and be happy. Not till 50 years, 50 years till I was 50, I hit the wall all the time. But then I got it. I got aware of the thing. And I said, I cannot do anything. Things don't happen, because I'm willing to do it because everybody's willing to do art. For example, look at art. Everybody today does art. It's all the technologies here, all the experience. So how are you going to make that 1%? So striving for the systemic success of an artist or an author or whatever, you have to do everything for yourself. You have to enjoy the moment. I'm not doing this to have a lot of views. I try to have a super conversation with you, and that's what fulfills me. That makes my human success, which is fulfillment. And what is fulfillment? That's right, that feeling after an orgasm. Not a half an hour later, or when you can compensate and can talk yourself out of it, but right after an orgasm. This is after union, actually. That's a natural feedback loop, and you feel that fulfillment, and that's it. And then not like, oh, I shouldn't have done this or whatever. It was just the right relationship or whatever. That's irrelevant. That's only systemic again.
So let's talk about art and artists and the fact that everybody wants to be an artist. And by art, I mean all forms of art. And you could argue that podcasting is also art, but that's an argument. I don't necessarily agree with it, but you could argue. You could argue that making short form videos of yourself talking is a form of art. I mean, I've been in modern art museums where there are video. There were. I wa This is a great story. I took a group of Girl Scouts to a modern art museum, and the very first exhibit that we saw when we walked in was a TV screen, and on the TV screen was a naked man dancing. And I had a group of 11-year-old Girl Scouts, and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get so much trouble from these parents. But not a single parent called me out on it. But because I think that I had done such a good job of being the Girl Scout leader, teaching them things outside of their circle. I always tried to teach some things that they didn't know already, that their parents trusted me, that I wouldn't expose them to things that weren't. And this was art. It was a guy dancing on a screen. It was art, right? So there are all sorts of different kinds of art. There's all sorts of different kinds of artists. I mean, tattoo artists. There's nail artists. I mean, so there art can be used to describe almost anything, but very few people can figure out how to monetize it. And I think that you have a book that you have written that teaches artists how to make the business of art more attainable.
And that's an awareness a book. The book is just separating the art product from the product of art to the creation of art, and all the power is in the creation. Your power, your human value, the human value that you have by talking to me, it surpasses anything on how many viewers you have. Even if you get and if you get an Oscar for this episode, if we get a billion views, it will never get us that much power than by creating it. It's always the creation. And because I said, why are 97 to 99% of artists poor all around the world? Well, when art shows us heaven on earth, it saved my life. If I wouldn't have heard a certain song, when if I wouldn't see a certain movie, I would have offed myself. And I'm not suicidal at all. I'm just saying, in adolescent, when you want to fit in and you cannot fit in, art usually saves you. I want to, if there was a research, I would love to know how many lives art saves, because then nobody would look at art like down there. And
Yeah,
it's,
nobody's going to do that research, though.
because it doesn't cost anything. That, to do art, to create art, you can do it with stuff you find. I have a phenomenal artist. She does art with stuff she finds.
What we do know, though, is that these days they don't put a lot of money into art in school. They don't put a lot of money into art programs in schools, and so the students really are suffering.
But they're right.
I'm just wondering. I mean, in the last week and a half or 2 weeks in Grand Rapids, which is I'm in the metro area for Grand Rapids, which is the second largest city in Michigan. In the last 2 weeks, two young students brought guns to school. That's because, honestly, I think that's because they don't have anything else to do.
And they
You
have no
know,
impact. I mean, art
put
have
art
no impact.
programs back into school and see if that changes. Just fund art again. That my grandmother was
First, you
a
have to understand it. You have to understand it, because I say, yeah, this is all systemic thing. Get more art and whatever. But I know people that created and I had discussions with them, created museums. They spent $18 million to create that museum. And I said, why did you spend that thing? Oh, because I like this art. They could never give me an answer. I mean, if you create something and you cannot give me the answer, if you do a job, and this is what humans do, we are so unconscious. We created a restaurant. I said, why did you create this restaurant? To make money, to be fulfilled, to be creative, to create a human environment. Why do you do this? And we don't know. We don't go deep enough to say, why is art? In fact, I did it in my book. I say, art is there's creativity and there's art. Creativity is when you create an iPhone. And the artistry is how good you do the iPhone that is human, it's easy to do, it's aesthetically pleasing, it has all that stuff. But the art is when you sit in front of a canvas or you're in silence and you hear a song, a note, which basically is a communication between your non-physical and things. So I let's see my background here. I see a white canvas. I something inspires me to do yellow. I put yellow on there. And then I say, okay, what is, and I get a green, and then I get yellow, and then there's shapes and all this stuff. That comes not from me. We are all channels, I think. We are not channeling. I'm not channeling, but we are all. I see our consciousness as air, like an air tire, and we are all the valves. And it comes out differently in everybody, because you see this, when you look at the world right now, the systems are all crumbling. Humans get more together, I mean, look at the podcasting alone. It's not about like media. Even AI has a hard time, and the AI can only survive because people hoping that some machine does the system work that they don't want to do. AI is nothing. It's not going to fulfill us, but it does all the system so we have time to fulfill ourselves. Right? But we got that promise with the iPhones, with computers, and we have less time now than we had before. It's all about the human interaction, awareness that we are part of nature, and that we need to be, and that we are inclusive. Everybody's unique. And because you systemically don't have an expression of what your value is, the system value, doesn't mean you don't have a value. That's why I think everybody should have a roof over their head, because systems cannot be the arbiter if a human is worthy or not. It needs to have, at least like in nature, a roof over the head and something to eat. And if that is done, then people are de-stressed and can actually work on the human potential versus just executing orders.
That's the basic foundation of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You need to have food and shelter. And until you have food and shelter, you can't do the rest. I mean, the pinnacle of Maslow's hierarchy is self-actualization. You cannot self-actualize if you're starving and you're being rained on because you don't have a roof over your head, or you're freezing at night because you don't have a warm place to sleep.
Or you can, like I did. Or you can self-actualize if you have a spirit that you're given by nature, right? If you Because I got self-actualized because I could not fit in, always was, almost homeless, never had, fit in the system. I mean, I think self-actualization awareness comes first, or it comes, so it should be the first.
So you're flipping Maslow's hierarchy on its head. You think
I'm
self-actualization
not
comes
alone. There's
first.
a lot of people that do. I'm not alone. This is not my invention. There's a lot of
Really?
people. You have to be aware first. And like, if you're aware that you're a woman, perfect. What is a woman and a man in systems, and what is a woman and a man in the nature? Look at that. Do you think a zebra doesn't give anything that if you are a female or male, other than procreating?
No.
They coexist next to each other. It's a systemic thing. They say, okay, men can more suppress their emotions. We send them into war. What are we gonna do with women? Okay, make more warriors and do the laundry. And that's a systemic definition. So when women fight for the emancipation, they cannot fight systemically for what they are by nature are. You are human. You cannot fight for that systemically. You are a woman. And they should never say we need to be the same. We are the same, period. That's a systemic bullshit that separated us. And we go into other countries, we take in over other things and say, okay, because we are that color and them are the other color, so we must be better because we won the war. And it's reversed too. It's just insane what we do. It's just systemically, when we put you we created a system and we put it above us and we submit to it. 350 million 350,000 people died in the war right now. That should never be a human that dies because of system.
Are you talking about the war in the U in Ukraine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And
Okay. So I am a fan of the idea of compulsory service, like in Israel and South Korea. If you are under the age of 30, you have to join either the military or do some sort of service. I'm a fan of that idea. And you're probably going to disagree with me. But it
No,
when
I'm a fan
you
of the discipline and all this
When
stuff. Yeah.
and it doesn't have to be that you can join the Peace Corps, you can join
Yeah.
AmeriCorps, you can join the military, any of the branches of the military, you can join the National Guard. I just want every 18 to 30-year-old to have served in some capacity other people. because
I
it teaches
100% agree. I don't
compassion.
agree at all.
And
At all.
there's something about the Mormon religion, the Latter-day Saint religion, because those 18-year-olds go out and they serve a community outside of their own community, and they learn about other communities, and then they come back and they have a level of compassion. And I think that part of their religion is what makes them such nice people. Because
You said it.
I've never met a Mormon I didn't like. They're all very kind people. Do I agree with their belief systems and their religion? I don't believe that when you die, you get a planet and you become Jesus on your own planet. No, I don't believe that, right? But do I believe that the Mormon religion creates an environment for happiness and kindness? Yeah, I kind of do.
I don't know. I don't know. I
And
like
not
that.
there's exceptions to everything.
Yeah,
There's exceptions to
because
everything.
I don't. I, for example, don't like there's a lower and a higher temple. I don't be like I don't like that there's temple between woman and man. They're separated. I don't like that. Every human is the same. There's more masculine
Yeah.
woman than man. There's more feminine woman that woman. We are a human. You a spirit, and you just come in this. There's no difference between you and me. I don't look at you. Oh, this is a woman. Oh my
Yeah.
God. Or she's
Yeah.
another race or whatever. Why would I do that? It's bullshit. It's system bullshit. It's
Yeah.
conditioned
And
system bullshit that we take on.
us putting our systems on other people's systems as well.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like the way that they do it because that's not our value system, but it works for them.
Yeah, but if you look at nature, you always look at nature. We're not the product of systems. We are the product of conditioning over generations of in systems. We are a part of nature, and we forget it. How often do you hear, "Hey, we are part of nature"? Nobody says that because nobody identifies with that, because we're so conditioned over generations that we really don't fit in system either. If I
Yeah.
say, "Are you a product of system?" and you would say, "No, I'm not a product of system," but you don't know where you come, and then the arrogance comes in that you think you are above everybody. We are the ruler of the planet, which is, I have to laugh, that one virus gets us all screwed up,
Yeah.
which is nature, and
Yeah.
we are not, we are
Well,
not, we are.
nature's job is to correct us when we come off course.
Exactly, you are correct. Your words in God's ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we need to wrap up, and I would really like to give some actionable advice to artists who are struggling. I want those 97 to 90% of artists out there right now that are not making an income, are not able to subsist on their art. What is your one piece of advice to them?
Compartmentalize. It's one advice in with three things.
Okay.
Compartmentalize that. The achievement of art, the creation is the power, not the product. The product is like everything else you create, video or whatever, to be dependent on other people to say you are worthy. The second is, if you love art so much, if you feel comfortable in art, and most people feel so comfortable in art that they can't integrate in a job. But I say, if you want to survive in this system, you have to get a job to afford your art. And there is jobs that are not for artists, but I'm in hospitality my whole life, because that allows me to not, like what we talked about, right? To not be running out of money, like with your cancer, with your healthcare. It allows me to create, to do my job of artist in a human environment, because hospitality is very human. So artists are very human. So that is an example. And then when you see that your creation is the value, and you milk the moment, I always say milk the moment of creation, then you don't feel poor if you don't sell. And you can always give it away, donate it. But I tell you, 75% of your art, you can't even give away, because nobody takes. And that is a great enlightenment. Because artists always have that false hope, because we like to have false hope. Like in the system, we are conditioned, in the future, you do this, and the future is this. What happens is the false hope of artists is everybody has a white canvas, nobody listens to music, nobody goes to theaters. And when I bring mine out, they're all gonna go. And it's not everybody has a look at your background. This is full. There's no space to put another piece from me. There is no,
No,
there is.
there's some room on my wall for more art.
But you see, it's not an empty white wall. It's not a museum's wall. And you listen probably to podcasts and whatever. And the thing is, with all of businesses, this is the thing for all of businesses. It's not the product. It is that we don't have the art. We have don't have the time to find ourselves. Let's say you and I would be the best fit ever. We don't have the time to find each other, nor that you say, hey, you want to get my sales funnel? I give you a free book. I give you this. We don't have. I get so many free books. I don't have. First of all, I'm dyslexic. I can't read. But then, but I've so hard time to even do what I have to do just to survive. And everybody's in the same thing. It doesn't matter who you are.
I think
Like I
that's why
said.
that's why I struggle with creating one of those lead magnets. I don't like the whole idea of creating a, everybody tells you you need a lead magnet, Candace. You got to have a lead magnet. And I don't like that idea because I never read any of the things I download.
Exactly. But everybody is the same. And this takes why podcasts are so good, because you can relate to that. We are humans, and we need to be how we humans look at that sales funnel. It's all systemic. Sales funnel, lead magnet, all this stuff, multiple thing. And then you go to, if you're at this conference, I was at conferences, I had no feedback. I have 50,000 views on videos of mine, and then I have no, even though I watch them. And zero feedback. I don't do it for the feedback, because I'm not here to manipulate you to kiss my ass, really.
So your advice for artists is to do the work.
Yeah,
It's just
and
do
to
the is
milk the
and
moment of
milk the
creation
moment
and
of
see how you're
creation
doing this.
and the
And
feeling.
it's a very free tool. 30 seconds, listen to my podcast. 30 seconds, it's a quote and a question. And if you want, it's the first superpower that we have. We are creator animals. The reason why we are self-conscious is because we have are creator animals. The fish swims better, the all the animals, they're better in stuff. We are creator animals.
So I do not have the link to your podcast, so go ahead and share that with the audience, and then I'll.
What is it? Anchor, it's now Spotify. It changed. It's on the when you go to michaelm.com, there's all the links. There's how you contact me, LinkedIn, all my socials. michaelm.com. See, make that simple too.
Okay, michaelm.com to find his 30-second podcast.
Michael with two L's.
I love it,
Michael.
Michael. And there will be a link to his website in the show notes, as well as links to all his Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and LinkedIn, and his YouTube channel. All right. Well, this is your moment of gratitude, Michael. For whom or what are you most grateful?
To myself, because I'm grateful that I see. I have a different view on great on gratefulness. I think it's not. I'm grateful that I created you that had such a great, for example, right now. I'm grateful that I had such a great talk with you, interaction with you. But I'm grateful to me. Obviously, I'm grateful to you because you're a reflection of mine. But I'm mostly grateful of me that I can attract you to speak with me. So I always think the gratitude has to come from within, and not that that other person is. It's almost like falling in love. It's that person. Love is the feedback loop that it that you are that this person and you together, these two resonances lift each other. And so I'm very grateful that I'm still alive. When people say, how are you? I say, I'm still alive. That's my general answer. And I enjoy every moment. And I'm ecstatic about being alive. I'm not thinking about, I'm not the youngest. I'm not thinking about dying or whatever. And if I die, it's fine. But I am completely happy every moment. I wake up in the morning. Do I feel bad? Yeah, but it's a physical pain. I just let it through. If I hurt, I know also how I'm grateful for all the ambiguity I feel, because the ambiguity has more treasures than the successes. So when you go through and like Churchill says, if in hell keep walking, the reward that you have through ambiguity is always greater than any success or accolades you can get in the system.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for solopreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. Make sure to visit gratitudegeek.com for all the show notes, where you can find links to all the groovy resources we've mentioned, including ways to connect with our guest, Michael McGrooch. If you loved this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Audible, iTunes, Good Pods, or your favorite podcast player so that you never miss an episode. Our theme music is track 14 by Rev Brock and Solily. I'm your host, Candace Rodarte, reminding you that gratitude is like manure. It's just a pile of poo until you spread it around. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.